All right. Hello. My name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. How's it going, Webb?
What's up, Smith?
Hello, hello.
All right. I'm Smith. That's Webb. And we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Maker Podcast. This is our podcast number 6. Thank you for joining us. You can catch us on Facebook at the Wager Makers Podcast, Twitter at the Wager Makers, and Instagram at the Wager Makers. We're on Apple, Spotify, Podbeam, and Stitcher, getting bigger and bigger every year. Weber, say hello to the millions of people out there listening.
What's happening, everybody? Thanks for joining us. It's brick by brick, baby, brick by brick. Tell your friends.
Right.
Come on,
that's
come
right.
on.
Tell your friends. Instagram us. Email us at thewagermakers@gmail.com. Let us know what's going on. Let us know if you have any questions. We're learning this as we go, and we're trying to give you guys some information. We got a great show ahead for you tonight. We have our very first guest tonight. Will be joining us, Mr. John Papa Groh, straight from New Orleans, the funkiest man in town. And we're going to be talking a little bit of fantasy football with him later on. We're going to talk about some viewer mail. We had a few people wrote in about fantasy football. We're going to get Weber's take on that, and then me and John Groh are going to talk about fantasy football a little bit. He's chomping at the bit. He can't wait to talk about that a little bit. Also, we're going to – hey, you know what we don't have to worry about anymore, Web? We don't have to worry about we don't have to worry about practice anymore, Web. College football –
talking about practice?
You're talking about practice. Practice.
College football is coming. There's two games this week coming up. We got Florida versus Miami, the old school rivalry there. And then we got the for degenerate gamblers that love betting on that late West Coast game. We got Hawaii versus Arizona. And so we're going to be looking ahead at those. We'll talk a little bit about our preseason picks from last week. We're not doing too hot so far. I'm even watching right now on the TV, Jimmy Garoppolo is getting the crap kicked out of him.
Pick after pick.
Yeah. Yep. As I speak right now, he's 0-for-4 with an interception, and Denver is beating San Francisco. And that would be our last pick of the week from last week. And hopefully they turn it around and get us to 2-3, but we'll see what happens. We're going to talk a little bit about the UFC 241. That came up on Saturday night, a funny story there about a message we got from one of our listeners. And Stephen Doe is out there. I hope you're listening. Congratulations on a big night you had last week. So we're going to get right into that. But
just stick to the UFC, Smith. We'd be undefeated.
That would be great. We got some inside information the other night, and we crushed it. We crushed it. So and Stephen Doe had a huge night. So
he's buying down there. Wherever he's at. He's buying one on the Wager Makers.
That's right. That's right. So I know we got one fan. At least for a week, we got one fan. We got one fan, I know.
At least one person's listening tonight.
Right. So before we go any further, I'm gonna talk a little bit, Webb, about this. I hate to beat a dead horse. We've been talking about some of the same issues. I know we talked about Antonio Brown. We talked about Zeke. I know I've talked about this pass interference rule before. This is going to be an issue every week. I see it even in preseason. I remember, you know, a year or two ago, there was games when, you know, we've been watching these games and dealing with it for 40 some years. And all of a sudden rules came out and we didn't know what a catch was. You didn't know if the guy possessed it going down, if he didn't, if he got up without the ball, all those things. All of a sudden the rules changed and we didn't know what a catch was. Well, now that's what it's like with pass interference. It's happening on every play. I'm telling you, it's gonna be an issue every week. Goodell and the NFL went through a knee-jerk reaction. The Saints fans went crazy. This thing's gonna burn some people this year. My buddy Bird said the other day, man, the Saints really opened up a can of worms with this one. I'm freaking out, Webb. I'm freaking out over this pass interference.
Let me talk you off the ledge here. But first of all, it's absolutely no doubt this is all New Orleans Saints fans' fault. So you guys, y'all take it all upon yourselves down there for getting open up this Pandora's box. That's first thing. Second thing is, relax. The same thing was going on last year with the helmet rule. Any play could be, you know, low in the crown of the helmet type thing. It's preseason. They did the same thing last preseason with the helmet rule, and then it kind of didn't go away, but it wasn't as big of an issue as we all thought it would be. They're limited in the amount of challenges. Obviously, they've made a couple of bad calls, like egregiously bad calls in the preseason, but I think that's kind of what, you know, that's what came down from on high. Make some calls and let's get something figured out here and see how bad it is or what's going to go on. I think it's a hot button, a little bit overrated at this point. I'm going to temper my optimism on that for a while. I think we're going to be all right. It's not going to be as big as you think. Not that it won't be a big moment, but it's not going to be as big as you think every week, week in, game in, game out.
All right. I just feel like already I'm with you, Webb. I need you to talk me off the ledge, because I'm telling you, every week in preseason, and it, a pass interference is a big play, man. It can change the game in every NFL game. And then, like, I've already seen it. There's been plays when I thought were pass interference, and they reviewed it, and it wasn't. I thought plays when it wasn't a pass interference, they reviewed it, and it was. There's been plays when I thought was pass interference, they didn't review it. Vice versa. It's gonna be every week. We'll see. Hopefully you're right. I hope you're right, but I just feel like this is something that's.
I think you're gonna see more calls. Maybe a pass interference reverse versus a pass interference. I think we're going to be all right. It's not going to be as momentum changing as you feel.
All right. Well, we'll wait and see. I want to talk a little bit about Stephen Doe. If you're out there listening right now, I think that's an alias for. But he reached out to us on our Facebook page the other day, and it was about an hour or two right before the UFC fights number 241. Here's what he said, Webb. Are you looking at UFC 241? I'm taking Pettis over Diaz, Costa over Romero, and a Hail Mary bet is worth worthy just because he's such a dog. So I'll be the first one to admit I like UFC, but it's not really in my wheelhouse. It's not something I've done a lot of playing on in the day. So I kind of send him back, man. A great question. Maybe we'll start doing UFC, and it is a great question. And maybe we'll start maybe leading into big UFC fights. We'll get an expert on here to talk a little bit about UFC in the coming weeks and stuff. And it's a good idea. I know it's super popular. So I'll let him know. Listen, I have no strong opinions on tonight's fights, but in the future we'll be happy to look into it more and stuff. So I didn't just leave it at that. I kind of was like, I bet Webb has been doing this shit for so long. I bet if I reach out to Webb, he's going to know somebody. He's going to know something. He's going to be able to get some inside information. So right away, I text Webb. I show you the picture, the message from Stephen Doe, and he said, give me 5 minutes. I might know somebody.
So
I'll let you take the story from there and where you got the information from or whatever.
Yeah, let me just, first of all, thanks to Stephen Doe. No, I think that's his real name, though, Smith. His cousin John. His cousin John Doe. Bada boom!
We're here every week.
Yeah, it's keep on coming. Anyways, yes, thank you so much for the email and the question. You guys may or may not know, I've been on both sides of this gambling thing for quite a while now. So it's funny, Smith, talk about the degenerate gamblers. Just to get a quick story here from late night. The late night Hail Marys on that Hawaii game maybe this weekend. So back in the day when I first started, I guess the early 80s, but early 90s, I guess, we used to actually call up and leave messages on the guy's answer machine to bet on UNLV versus Pacific. Yeah, give me, 50 times, 10 times, 25 times on UNLV minus 24 in a dude's answer machine. So that's how far back we've been doing it. So anyways, I made a couple calls around, asked about the UFC 241, and we came back with that line on Pettis and Diaz wasn't exactly straight. We thought what I was hearing was that maybe that Diaz, that should have been close to even, and that it's probably going to go the whole way. So that's what we advised Steven to do. And then the second one was Costa. We didn't really have too much of a lean on that one. No one had too much of a feeling. So then we went just over on that. And then also we always, we love a long shot, so it came big on that. That big dog, I think, was plus 615 or 625 or something. So just a couple phone calls. Give us a shot. Give us a couple minutes, and we'll make some calls. We'll get you right. Don't worry about it.
I was blown away because here's the quote that I got from you, and I sent it over to Stephen Doe. We don't have a lean on Pettis Diaz based on the price. Pettis minus 140. We're hearing it should be closer to even and should go the distance. So we like the over 2.5 at 220 on a smaller play. Okay. So, Stephen Doe took Pettis. We told him take it easy on that one. Diaz won. You told him it should be closer.
Right.
It went over the 2.5, so we were right on that one. So we also told him we do like Costa at plus 115 and the over at minus 165. Winner, winner. And then it says Worthy is winners. And it says Worthy is probably not making it out of round one, But we love a Hail Mary, and that price is right at +615. Boom, boom, boom. Stephen Doe hit it big. And it was just fun, man. We love seeing winners. We helped, he had most of them down right anyway. If we helped out in any way, that was awesome. Because
we gotta save that. I actually sounded good there. I gotta save that. I gotta go back and see if I can find that text. That sounded
right.
Good.
I have it right here in a text. It sounded good. Right. You had all that bookie speak. You know, all that towel speak. We're learning from this.
That's right. Not our first day.
All right. So that was good. Congratulations, Stephen Go. And hey, thank you very much for messaging us. I mean, it was great. We were glad to help. And that was great. We also have a little viewer message from Marty Johnson this week about fantasy football. We'll be getting to that in a minute. But I think first, we got real football coming up this week, real college football. We got two games. Talked a little bit about, the degenerate gambler. I remember one time I tried to bet on Hawaii, and it was back in the day. And, in the East Coast, they usually play their game. This particular game's at like 9:30 Central Time or something like that this week coming up. But I remember on the East Coast, those games used to go off at 11 or 12. And if you have your rough day, you got to, you're dying to get that piece of action late at night. So one time I called a dude in the afternoon. I'm like, listen, man, I might need to do something with that Hawaii. You know, can I call you? Should I do it now? Or do you guys still open at midnight? You know, how's that work? He said, Smitty, if you call me at midnight to talk about Hawaii, you're going to be swimming with the fishes. He told me. So needless to say, I put the Hawaii bet in at 8 o'clock instead of at midnight. But I just thought that was
I bet you called it from the payphone too.
Yeah. And I have those New York phone numbers on my mom's phone bill.
Yeah.
and then also one more thing too. I was told by three different people that I've been cursing too much on this show, so I'm going to try and tone it down unless it really is excited. But the three people are my mom, my wife, and Todd Lewis. So Todd Lewis, if you're out there, I apologize for dropping the F-bomb so much while your kids were in the car listening the other day. So I'm gonna try and tone it back unless I really need to. But I mean, I told my mom, I was like, look, it's a couple Jersey guys talking sports. So sometimes you're gonna get. I think I was talking about things that pissed me off last week, and I was dropping too many to F-bomb. So I'm gonna see if I can do a little better on that and see what happens. So let's go right. We got college football. It's no more practice. We got Florida and Miami. You know, when I think about these two teams, I think about like the heyday when we were growing up and Miami, like the bad boys, Army fatigues and Michael Irvin and Jimmy Johnson and Warren Sapp. And man, those teams were so bad. And the three teams in Florida used to just battle it out all the time. Florida State and Florida. And that's what I think about those teams. Those days have long passed Miami by. Rick's tried to bring him back into prominence, I think a little bit in the last few years, and he's moved on. And so now they have a new coach, Manny Diaz, is taking over. He was the defensive coordinator. What are you thinking about this game? Right now it's Florida -7, but I think it's starting to go up. Also the total is at 48.5. I see it as 7.5. What are you thinking about on this game?
Just to spin off of that. Yeah. We're dying for Florida football to come back. We need Florida State, Miami, and Florida to all be top 10 teams to go back. Like you said, to our heyday. It was nothing like watching those Jimmy Johnson, Miami teams and the Spurrier Florida teams and the Bobby Bowden, Seminole teams. So, hopefully they can get all that stuff figured out. Those lines right now, Smith, we're looking at 7.5 Gators and 47.5. I'm feeling real strong for Florida. If anyone out there can get it at 7, jump on it quickly. It's going to go up. I don't think it's even going to sit at that 7.5. Based on the quarterback, the stability of the quarterback play and the stability of the coaching staff for Florida. Miami brought in Diaz. He's new. He's old to the program, but new. And then they brought in Tate Bartel from – he was a huge recruit from Ohio State, the quarterback, and the guy didn't even win the competition. So I think he's actually third on the depth chart behind a redshirt freshman. So it's going to be – I think it's in Orlando. I think it's going to be – it's almost a UF home game. I think I'm feeling pretty strong for Florida -7 if you can get it. 7.5, try to buy it down to the 7. And then the total 47.5. I don't have too much of a feel there. College football, I'm always a fan of the over just based on the rules, but that play there is definitely Florida.
Right. I love Florida. And this one, you got Felipe Franks is coming back. You know, he's had his struggles during the years, but this kid's good. He showed improvement every time he's been out there. I think this is really going to be a big year for him. You know, Dan Mullins knows how to coach. He's done a good job down there in Florida. Perrine, their top running back, is back from last year. And Florida puts out one of the top defenses every year. I think they're just they're a little bit out quality for Miami at this point, all around the ball. I think Florida is a really, really great play. Florida's got a redshirt freshman, Jaron Williams, is coming in to play quarterback for them. And again, I just I love Florida. I like them at 7. I like them at 7.5. I like them at 8. Whatever you get, try and get it. I would try and get it in right away. The earlier, the better. Like you said, I think that line is only going to go up as we go. Looking at the total, it's kind of a toss-up. You know, a lot of people think, oh, man, the defense is so good, you know, that it's going to be a low-scoring game. That's not always the case. Sometimes that means turnovers. Sometimes that means setting your team up in great field position. I think there's a good chance this game goes over. But the play I love in this, and that's going to be our top play of the week, is Florida laying whatever points. Like I say, right now, as of Monday night, it's 7, 7.5. It's not going to go down. So looking at this West Coast game, we talked a little bit about Arizona and Hawaii. That line's sitting at 11, and the total's at 70. Do you got any thoughts on that one?
I'm looking at 11.5 and 74 here. I don't have too much of a feel. Both teams, you know, quite frankly, they suck. The defenses both suck. Arizona's been, they're up and down. I don't know, Rich Rodriguez was there, and they thought they were coming up, and they got to get rid of him, and they brought in Kevin Sumlin, and then Tate, the quarterback, was hurt, and now he's back. I think they can score. I don't think Hawaii's defense is really any good either. It is out there in Hawaii. I'm not sure how easy it is to get up and play a preseason or not, well, early season game out in Hawaii in August. I think Hawaii probably has a better shot of doing anything in the conference. My lean here would be, I guess, Hawaii plus the 11.5, just based on home team early in the season. And 74, that's one of those weird ones. It's tough to punch that and say, give me over to 74, but I would go that way as well. I was reading, too, that this is the only – there's going to be three games all season that Arizona's going to be favored by more than 3 to 5 points, and this is one of them. So that's not a promising that doesn't inspire too much confidence in me. So if I had to, this is not a strong play, though, but I'd take Hawaii plus the 11.5 and just hope for a shootout.
Right, and that Khalil Tate is a solid quarterback for Miami, for Arizona. He had some injury problems last year, but some people are even listing him as possible Heisman candidate. I don't think anybody from Arizona is going to be winning the Heisman anytime soon, but he's certainly athletic. Both teams are returning a bunch of players, so they might be better. But I think the Pac-12 obviously is going to be a better class than the Mountain West. But no total feel on this game. Sometimes I like taking Hawaii with the points early in the season. You never know what's going to happen. So let's move on a little bit.
Let me jump on that. Maybe even get Hawaii in the first half. I think they would at least be – it's going to be real close at half. I mean, you get Hawaii plus maybe 7, 6.5, something like that. That may be probably the best play in the game.
There you go. So let's go on a little bit. Talking about people sending us in questions and comments about the show. You can email us at thewagermakers@gmail.com, Facebook, The Wager Makers Podcast, at The Wager Makers on Twitter, and at The Wager Makers on Instagram. So we got a message from Marty Johnson yesterday. All right, I know he's chomping at the bit. Okay, I'm gonna read the whole message, and then we'll take it bit by bit. And that's when our special guest John Groh is gonna join us in a few minutes, and we're gonna go over some of the fantasy football stuff. But the first thing says, with fantasy football draft parties right around the corner, ours is next Friday. I'm wondering if fantasy football is counted as gambling, and if y'all be dedicating a few minutes for some advice. I'm truly interested in your thoughts. And then she's got a several fantasy football type questions down there. And Webb, knowing you for a long time, I know you have serious thoughts on this. What are your thoughts about fantasy football and is it gambling? And what are your thoughts?
No, it's not gambling. It's not even close. It's not gambling. It's not gambling at all. Shouldn't be considered. Shouldn't be in the same conversation. And then based on our earlier disclaimer, I'm gonna temper my comments. So, no, fantasy football is not gambling. Not even close. I told Smith, my rant is coming as soon as I'm sitting on a bar stool and some gentleman next to me is wearing a Giants jersey and screams at a Carson Wentz touchdown. I'm going to have an aneurysm and my head's going to pop off because how could he be sitting in a Giants jersey screaming for Carson Wentz? But anyways, there's another aspect to that question. I guess can girls or women play fantasy sports? And that's absolutely that we're pro. We're anybody can gamble. Anybody can play fantasy sports, but fantasy football is not gambling.
Right. So the other questions, I get your take on the fantasy football thing, whether it's gambling or not. Just to give you my outlook. All right, it's not okay. But then you get into, you know, is playing the lottery gambling? Is playing bingo gambling? I don't know. Is when we're sitting in a baseball game and we're betting $50 on whether the guy is going to leave the baseball on the pitcher's mound for the pitcher to come out and get it? Is that gambling?
That's gambling. Yes. All right. Yes. Okay. Fantasy football, not gambling.
Well, that's cool. All right, then we're just going to call this. I'm gonna say this. Fantasy football is fun, and you can disagree with that. If you want,
I'm not gonna dispute that.
Right? All right, I'm gonna.
You got a special guest coming on. I'm not gonna.
All right. So we know, like Weber talked a little bit about the women playing fantasy football, and that was one of Marty's questions here. She goes into, you know, what are your thoughts on the same quarterback receiver combo? She says, I'm not a believer. I'll be touching on that. Best place to hope for in a snake draft. Also, she asked about women in fantasy football. I think her deal is. And she mentioned to me that, you know, she's won a Super Bowl in her league and some of the guys have not. So they're giving her a hard time. Obviously, what Webb said, women are absolutely should be involved in fantasy football. And if the dudes don't like it, that's up to them.
You know, tell them they should win. Right. They got a problem with it. Just beat you. That's all.
Exactly. There was a golf tournament a long time ago and Phil Mickelson played. But it was that Sorenstam was invited to play in I think that was who it was invited to play in the men's tournament one time. And so they asked Phil Mickelson, they're like, well, how do you think she'll shoot? And he said, man, I think she'll do really great. I think she'll shoot 12 under. And they said, well, how do you think you'll shoot? And he said, man, I hope I shoot 13 under or better. So
that's right.
Just if you got a problem with the girls, just beat them. So I want to say a little bit something about so I've been in the same fantasy league for over 20 years. It's a bunch of guys that worked together, played together on in the French Quarter. We all worked at bars on Bourbon Street, and we all get together once a year, all 12 of us, and we just have a great time at the fantasy draft. We've all moved on to different things. Like I say, it was over 20 years ago, so we've all moved on to bigger, different things. And once a year, we all get a chance to come back and we have a great time at the draft. And one of my best friends in the whole world is John Groh, and he's going to be joining us in a few minutes. We're going to hear a little bit from his music right now. But as far as that girl question, one of the people that was in the league was Sarah Gamble, and she the league was called Fourth Down on Bourbon Street. The league was called Fourth Down on Bourbon Street Fantasy Football League, and now it's called Sarah Gamble Fourth Down on Bourbon Street Fantasy Football League. And what happened, she tragically passed away about 8 years ago, and so we dedicated the name of the league to her. But she was every bit as part of the league and one of the guys and talked just as much trash and did all that stuff as anyone else. So obviously, women can be involved in fantasy football, and all the guys that are in this league together, we miss Sarah. And now I'd like to welcome our good friend John Groh to the house. He's here. He's in that league too, so I wanted to bring him in. And
I think I need a new introduction.
Okay, John Papa Groh, the world famous. Wait! I dropped the ball on that. The champ. This year's champ of fantasy football, the Sarah Gamble Fourth Down on Bourbon Street Fantasy Football League champion, the Funksters, John Groh.
Way at.
Congratulations.
How was that? Was that better?
That was much better. I like that one. Yeah.
John, how many Super Bowl rings do you have in this league that we've been in a long time, 20 years? How many rings do you got?
I got one finally.
Yeah. How many?
I think it was the Super Bowl six different times. And finally got one.
You like the Buffalo Bills of the fantasy football league that we have down here. How many Jersey Devils? The Jersey Devils. Do you know how many they have?
Constantly reminded that they have four.
Okay.
Just I've done my part in trying to keep him keeping away from the one for the thumb.
There you go. Yeah, the minute I made that T-shirt up saying one for the thumb and showed up the draft, I haven't won one ever since. So, John, we're bringing you in here because you are the champ, and so we need some we need some expert advice. We got a message from one of our listeners the other day, Marty Johnson. So one of the top questions that I wanted to help with, you know, she asked that she's getting some razzing from the guys in her league about being a woman in a fantasy football league, and she's won some Super Bowls. Some of the other guys have not. So I just wanted to get your take also on the women in the fantasy football.
Hey, if they can compete, they're knowledgeable and they're into it. And even if they're not, if they can talk the talk, I mean, that's the most fun about fantasy football. You know, just doing the talk and razzing all the guys and the competition and all that. I mean, that's what it's all about. Just it's about the group of people in their community we have together that we share every year. I mean, that's the most important thing about it. I mean, winning is great because then you got one up on everybody else. But, you know, our Sarah, she was the best at it.
Right. She'd oftentimes be the ones, you know, we'd be ready to, the draft, our draft, because of us getting together once a year. And there's a lot of banter and a lot of wasted time. Kind of, it's not just get right down to business because everybody's so happy to see each other. So the draft takes a while. So sometimes it's 4 or 5 hours for the draft. And so sometimes, you know, we'll be ready to go home and she'll be trying to drag us out. Like, let's go, you guys. What you remember some of those times, John?
Oh, man, she was the best because, I mean, her name, the team was the Silver Bullets. And she always came to the draft with her Coors Light cans. That was her favorite drink, that and Jägermeister. And then, but no, but she knew what she was. She knew who she was drafting. She knew, she had a plan. She was in on it. And then, as soon as someone made a stupid pick, she was the first one to let them have it all night long. And then, you know, when we're all done, you know, it's all hugs and kisses, and it's like, come on, guys, if you can't hang, now the real work gets draft work gets done. We're going out drinking that now.
Right. And then she, I mean, John asked me last night if he could use the P word, because that's the last time, the last draft she was at, she was telling us, like, she was trying to drag us out, and we were like, no, man, we got to go. And so she called us a bunch of the P words, but we didn't want to get it. We weren't sure. We weren't sure since I got told last week that I said F too much.
Todd Lewis's kids are listening, right. Man. Come on. Yeah. Now it's a PG podcast all of a sudden. Sorry about that, John.
Sorry, yeah. Todd. Sorry, Todd Lewis. Yeah. All right, so.
Yeah, but Sarah was the best, and I mean, I think anybody who just participates in the league should be able to play. That's the number one thing.
No doubt, and just be willing to dish it out. And then if you don't like it, win. That's all. So, John, are you? I know you're on a road right now. You got any gigs coming up soon, or you got anything? I know you just hit the Jersey Shore not too long ago.
Yeah, we were up on the Jersey Shore for a couple of days, and then went to Philly and. Right outside of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Right now I'm in High Point, North Carolina, having a couple days off, catching up on my fantasy stats, getting ready for our draft. And But I'll be in Martinsville, Virginia on Wednesday, down in Lexington, North Carolina on Thursday, Charleston, South Carolina on Friday at the Poorhouse. And then we're playing an outdoor thing in Palm Royal, South Carolina. Then we come home from there.
Awesome, man. Awesome. And you'll be back in time for our fantasy draft is, I think, on that Tuesday night before the season starts. So we're looking forward to that. All right. So let's get to some of these questions that Marty Johnson asked. I think, you know, my feeling on this first question is, how do you feel about the same quarterback wide receiver team? She says she's not a believer. What are your thoughts on that one?
I've never done it. And I've only won once, but I've been in Super Bowl 6 times. I don't really like it. I mean, it's high risk, high reward. You know, it's just it's too much of a gamble. But I think if you think your draft is pretty poor, then you might want to start thinking that way. You know, picking up, trying to go that way. If you're desperate, you know, there's some guys that like to do that year round. Especially when they're from like Jersey or something like that.
Yeah. So I am a believer in this, but I'll stop it. I'll say this. I always enjoy having the quarterback and receiver of the same team. Like you said, it's high risk, high reward. I'm very much have gambling instincts. I like the all in mentality of it. But I will qualify that with saying this. I mean, if you have a choice, if you have a quarterback already, and you have a choice between a really good wide receiver and some dude that's plays with your quarterback, obviously you take the really good wide receiver. Not the same thing. Now what I like to do is, If I have a toss up, a 50-50 question, say you have in the first round early on, you instead of Julio Jones, maybe you take Odell Beckham, or just let's say you had Mayfield, just for example. Obviously the receivers are going to go probably before Mayfield, but let's say you had Mayfield this year and you had a choice between Julio Jones and Odell Beckham. Let's just say that's a 50-50 swap. I like to go with the Cleveland Browns. Now you might. If your personality, like you say, John, he's been to the Super Bowl 5 times and not win it. If that's your kind of personality to play it safe, then maybe you want to diversify. Maybe John wants to diversify. I like to go all or nothing.
To me, it's just like there's only so many Tom Brady, Randy Moss combinations. I mean, that's like one that you just can't pass up if you had that to you. But if it fell in the draft to you in that kind of scenario you presented, yeah, you know, you probably have Odell first. So if you're down in your ninth or tenth round and Mayfield is there and you need a second quarterback, yeah, maybe that is a good pick.
All right. So there's our take on that.
It wouldn't be my strategy going in, though.
And by the way, Mayfield's going to be a top line number one pick. But I don't want to give away too many secrets here today to John Groh especially. But all right. So the next question is best place to hope to draft in the snake draft. You know, for those out there, that means, you know, if you're first in the first round, you're last in the second round kind of thing. So what are your thoughts on where do you like to draft, John?
I like if I could be anywhere between like 4 and 8. That's kind of like in the middle, maybe not 4, maybe 6 and 10, somewhere in there. But here's the thing, it's like you never know where you're going to go, and you have to be prepared. So you have to know the board, and, you know, you have to know who's available. And, you know, I was number 2 last year, and I won the whole thing, so go figure that.
You won it all last year, John?
I sure did.
All right. So just for
weren't you me, first pick last year?
I might have been.
I think you went with Gurley, and I took Alvin Kamara. And,
well, listen, we all know we're home. You probably took the Saints kicker in the second round, too.
I think I had him in the fifth round.
right. All right. So as far as my view on the best place to draft, I like to take my top tier guys. Maybe there's 4 running backs that are your absolute no miss guys. Like last year, probably would. I think John did a nice job picking Kamara last year because I don't know that everyone would have put him in that group after
yeah, just, he was probably after a, just his rookie he was year. Probably a second, you know, 5 to 10 kind of player, and I kind of reached most right. Being a homer, and I like having a good Saints player on my team.
Right. So that's probably what causes you Super Bowls most of the time, but this time it worked out. And then so I like to take those 4 or 5 guys. Like I say, a lot of guys have questions about them, but this year probably is like Saquon Barkley, Kamara. You know, they talk about the running back from Carolina, McCaffrey.
Yeah,
four or five, and you know, Zeke would easily be in that category without the contract situation right now. Gurley without some of the injury rumors. But I like to be like, say you have. And even this year, you know, maybe
Le'Veon Bell, you got to throw him in there.
Smith. Right. Exactly. And even if you want to go further, you put one of these wide receivers, Julio or something in there. And you want to take, I like to take, if there's 4 or 5 of those can't miss guys, I like to be last in that group. So if you have 5 that you think are the top guys, I like to go 5th. Let the other people make the decisions. And then just when it's your turn, you got the one guy left and then your first one to get the second guy coming back around, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. So, yep.
So, and then I know, like we mentioned, our draft is our league is very old. So our league rules are kind of antiquated. Our defenses score much more than they do in other leagues. Our quarterbacks score a lot more than other leagues. So I'm sure Mahomes in our league is going to be a big deal. But in other leagues, I don't recommend taking quarterbacks or defenses very early. But in ours, we know that happens. So Marty also asked, what offensive positions do you choose first?
Well, I think you have to go with a running back. There's just not enough great running backs, point scorers. So you have to, like, get a top-tier running back. But then again, if you're picking after 9 or 10, those top-tier running backs are gone. So maybe you get that wide receiver or you get a Mahomes. But then your second pick, you have to get a running back. But if you don't have a top 10, top 12 running back in your first two picks, you're really going to be doomed.
Right, I agree. I think I'm a best available player until you get your roster filled out. You know, in the later rounds, you want to start filling some guys out. But man, the first few rounds, you just want to get the best players, get guys that score points, get playmakers in there in the first few rounds. Guys that can, you know, there's only a handful of guys that can win a game for you in a week. So the position doesn't matter. You know, you got to get guys that score points in there. Yeah, Webb, you got any fantasy football advice for these guys?
No. You can do a tight end. It can score you some points, right? I mean, you can see some of those Kelsey in there or one of those guys. I mean, I guess you got to go running back early, though, it sounds like. It seems like to me, anyway.
Yep, and I'll tell you, I love the new acquisition by the Saints this year at tight end. Just, I know Marty's listening down there in New Orleans. Jared Cook, I think he's going to have a monster year. Drew Brees has not played with a tight end like this since Jimmy Graham was around, and I think that's going to be a big pickup for them.
Yeah, you look at what he did with Antonio Gates in San Diego and Jimmy Graham. It's going to be one of those kind of things this year with Jared Cook, without a doubt.
Right. All right, well, John Groh, the champion, and I want to thank you for the bumper music you've been having this year. We're going to take you out with a little of his song, Black Rider. You can listen to a little bit of that, and then me and Will will be back to wrap up a few more things before the show is over. But John Papa Groh, the champ, the Funksters team, we'll be seeing you at the draft in a few weeks. You got anything to add here?
Do that all the way, baby.
All right, do that. Go Saints. Go Saints. All right, John. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it. We'll be having you back on the show someday.
That sounds good.
Congrats, John. Thanks, man.
All right, see y'all later.
All right, so that was John Groh. I want to thank him for coming on. That is the champ from our league. Webb, we want to talk a little bit about some of these NFL guys not in camp still. These things starting to drag on. We didn't think it was too big of a deal early on. What do you think about your boy Zeke?
Well, now Jerry Jones is out there talking shit, saying Zeke, and now just stirring the pot, as Jerry will do. I still am optimistic. I think about maybe a week from today, you'll see some stuff heating up. I did see a report he was on a plane to Dallas, but I'm not sure if that was confirmed. But I think you'll see him. It doesn't benefit him not to play, is what I'm kind of hanging my hat on. If he even sits out the entire season, which I doubt that would happen anyway, he'd be in the same exact situation next year. And the thing is, if you look at the money, you'll see a report saying he's going to make $12 million on his next 2 years, which is true, but it doesn't say the money he made. I think he got $15 guaranteed when he signed. So it's not like he's, you know, he's working on the way, you know, he's selling ice cream right now in Cabo to try to make ends meet. So he's doing fine. And I think he will sign prior to the first regular season game.
Right. And then, you know, obviously we talked about Antonio Brown a ton. I mean, man, this dude, Mike Mayock, finally came out yesterday. Finally, everybody's been kissing his ass since day one. Finally, Mayock came out yesterday and said, hey, man, look, it's time. Either you're in or you're out here. You know, what's the deal?
I mean, well, that they kind of made their own, you know, they kind of made their own mess there. You can't come out publicly and defend a guy, and then all of a sudden when he keeps acting up, it's like a kid. You let a kid, he's going to push you as far as he can push you, and then you got to kind of, you know, smack his hand or whatever you want to say. So when the dude acts off, he acted off in Pittsburgh and he got rewarded with what he wanted. He wanted a trade and a new deal and he got it. Now he's acting off in Oakland and they're still rewarding him up until this point. But he reported today. He's crazy as a shithouse rat, but he ain't giving away $35 million. So his ass is in camp today. So he'll be playing football. Worry about that. And then, you know, he's one of these guys too. If he wants, you know, that week one, if he goes for 8 and 100 yards, no one's going to say a word. So.
All right. And we had a couple big injuries. You know, we don't talk all the time about the defensive side of the ball. The Jets lost an important linebacker, Avery Williams, and Derwin James out from San Diego. A couple big, couple big preseason injuries there.
The Avery Williamson thing is big. I mean, it's his starting guy, but I don't know how, you know, how much an inside linebacker is going to crush your season, especially when, you know, you got all that offensive talent that the Jets have. They got some really good linemen, D linemen. They got Quinn Williams. They just drafted the other Leonard Williams from USC a couple years ago. And then they signed the guy, Reggie Rutland, I think his name is, from Baltimore. So they'll be okay. That Derwin James thing, though, out in San Diego was crushing. I mean, they had super legitimate Super Bowl aspirations, and he could have been the best player on the team, period. And that's going to hurt them drastically, I think. So that's much more concerning to me in terms of the team's hopes for versus the Jets versus the Chargers. And the other one that we mentioned, Andrew Luck. I mean, that's another one. That's a season.
That's as big as they get. That's as big as they get.
You know, so if he's unable to play, and high ankle sprains are sneaky, man. It doesn't sound bad, but that'll linger. That could be, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see 6-8 weeks with that thing. Not that I know that it's that bad or that drastic, but I don't see him. I don't know how he's going to play week one. So that's worrisome as well. The Derm James thing is real bad, and the Andrew Luck thing would be worse.
Right. Obviously, with all the carnival and season going on with Antonio Brown and Zeke and everything, the Andrew Luck thing has been flying a little bit under the radar. That's the biggest injury in any camp so far. The biggest miss from any camp so far this year. So
no doubt.
Yep. So right now we're still it's Monday night. We're watching San Francisco. We're hoping San Francisco comes back in this game, get some of the things. Did you have any preseason things that you liked or didn't like that you see this week in the NFL preseason just passed?
I was surprised, I guess, by the Cowboys play by Cooper Rush, the backup quarterback. I was pleasantly surprised, and they left, I think, 13 guys in Dallas that even show up. But then when they looked at what was going on with LA, it's kind of the same thing. And the thing that strikes me is how quarterback driven the league is. I mean, if one guy goes down, if Jared Goff goes down, forget the Rams. If you know, obviously, if Luck goes down, forget the Colts. But I mean, there's no backup quarterbacks. Maybe the Saints have one, and then maybe what's going on in Washington. But Colt McCoy, I think Keenum is the only healthy guy now, I think, or he's going to be starting week one. So that's the thing that struck me, is how, I guess, the lack of quality backup quarterback play in the league.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. You know, Nick Foles left the Eagles. Now they got injuries, and I think they have two injuries now.
They brought the guy off the couch.
Yeah, McCown.
He's 40 years old. He's been playing. He's Rip Van Winkle out there playing quarterback.
Yep, and then we had a couple young guys that kind of looked real good in preseason number one, Kyler Murray, and certainly struggled in preseason number two. That's obviously going to happen, but everybody overreacts to these things. I know here in Saints land, preseason number one, everybody said Bridgewater was the heir apparent. All of a sudden he has a rough game yesterday and they say he's a bum. So I don't know as far as Saints fans go, I would like to see Taysom Hill get the hell off the field. This guy is a starting player for the team. He plays every special teams, and he plays in certain offensive packages. He played the entire second half yesterday. I got Saints fans telling me, oh, great, he played. Texting me, oh, man, how about this Taysom Hill? It's like, yeah, get him off the damn field. I mean, if you're a Saints fan, why are you rooting this on? I don't understand.
I hear you, but I don't know. I mean, Teddy Ballgame's only signed for this year, though, Smith. So I think
they're still looking at stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if this week three, if they give Bridgewater a long look at in a preseason game. They got to figure out what they're going to do, when in the end of Drew Brees. So, all right. So our biggest story this week for this cast is we love Florida. Florida in a blowout over Miami. Webb, do you have any things you want to add for this thing, or anything you want to touch on?
Just the Josh Gordon thing. He's back in Patriots camp, but I think he's good. I think it seems like, you know, it's like Groundhog Day. This guy's gonna get suspended again in a week, but definitely a baller. He looked great. I don't know if you saw him physically. He looked great. I don't know where his head's at, but just on a, I mean, the NFL's got to chill out with this. If the guy's smoking weed, it's not like, you know,
right. I mean,
I think that's okay.
Some places these guys, These guys live. Let's say, what if you're a Denver Broncos fan? Right. It's legal. Seattle. You know what I mean? You can walk into a store and pick some up. I don't understand. It's not poor. It's not performance enhancing. It's legal in many places. I don't see how that's really an issue. But again, Josh Gordon, he's a beast. He's a beast. Physically.
And I tell you, if he could somehow play, I don't know, 12 games or whatever the number is, even and just get a couple catches early just to be a threat. I mean, that's they're going 13, 14 wins, that team. In that division. So I'm happy to see that. And, you know, I was glad to see that the NFL is kind of showing some type of common sense with that anyway. And I'm rooting for the kid. I don't really have anything against him. So.
Right. I think, you're right. If the Patriots can have a guy of that kind of athletic ability on the outside, it changes their team. They haven't. I mean, when was the last time you really? I mean, I think Randy Moss was mentioned earlier.
Randy Moss, and when was the last time they had Josh? Yeah.
Right. When was the last time they had a? You know, obviously they always had Gronk going down the middle, and they got the little third wide, slot guys making little moves. But when was the last time they had a real guy on the outside? So that just changes their whole
run
thing.
Routes. Yep.
Right. All right, everybody. Well. I think that's going to wrap up this episode number 6. And listen to us. We're going to have another one out soon. We're going to go into NFL preseason week 3, and we'll talk some about the NBA schedule came out recently. We'll talk some about that and just any other news that pops up. So, Weber, what do you got to say?
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, John Groh, the champ. And we'll see everybody. Shoot us up with those questions, man.
All right. Thank you, John Papa Groh. We're going to take you out with Black Rider from John Papa Groh, and the champ has spoken, and we'll see you next time. Thank you very much.